Welcome to the Life Through the Lens with Stan podcast.
And welcome to Life Through the Lens, another episode. Had last week off, just a bit going on, haven't been 100%. Still not 100%. I picked up a very nasty virus through the family. A lot of gastro going around, so I don't know how I've escaped it for so long working at schools for the last 3 years, but managed to get it. And wow, I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't move. It was really, really something else. So, as I said, feeling a bit flat. So that was why I didn't do an episode last week, and I'm really sorry. Been a lot going on. Just got back from Kangaroo Island, which is what we're going to talk about today. But what have I been up to the last couple of weeks? Before we get into today's episode, which is a good point. I don't normally do this, but don't forget to give this show a rating, especially if you're listening to it all the time. It sort of helps the channel on whatever platform you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the others out there. I'm sure it's just those two that people mainly listen to. Give us a rating. That really does apparently help with getting this show out there, which has been doing really well. But the extra support helps there. Algorithm or whatever it is that makes it work. So as I said, what I've been up to, we got through Easter and everything else. Started doing a bit of film photography over in Kangaroo Island and around the place. I started Stat 2.0, which is the second page that I've got on Instagram now, which has been really good. I guess after doing Instagram on the main page, the Stat, for I guess the last 18 months, 2 years, I've tried not to, but I've managed to in some ways pigeonhole myself with a certain style with that photography, which I really enjoy, the moody stuff and everything else. But as a lot of you guys can relate, being photographers that are listening, you like to experiment and do different things that may not normally be what you do as a photographer, whether that be wildlife photography, architectural, landscape, and all those things. Even daytime photography, you know, doing the stuff in the middle of the day when you're not used to doing that. You sort of pigeonhole yourself of, oh, that's my style. And that's where I thought this second page could really help me just explore different photography that I'm into at this point in time. Now, whether that be film or, like, as in film camera sort of stuff, or something else that I've really gotten into recently, which has been bird photography. I had an exciting moment, which I will talk about in this episode, so stay tuned for that. But managed to get a bucket list item with photography from Day Dot, so over in Kangaroo Island, so I'll talk about that. But yeah, birding and bird photography. My wife Kaz, she's into nature and she loves birds and all that sort of stuff, and she knows what she's talking about with birds. She knows a lot of the names just from, well, she knows a lot of the names of the birds and different species, but also that she can read like bird callings and that, and know what sort of bird it is and how they sort of, their behaviors and everything else. And she's, it's really nice, you know, when she talks like that. And what I have been doing lately is we'll go out to a different spot, you know, like a wetlands or whatever. And it's good for both of us because I'm really enjoying shooting. Sorry, I should say it's one of the biggest things with photographers is the word shoot. It never sounds good when we say it in certain terms. Like I work at schools and occasionally I'm asked by the school to do some photos, and it's like I can't even say what I'm going to say, but you know, using the word shoot and birds or kids does not sound good in a sentence, no matter how you put it. So Going out and you can't even say the word capturing either. Going out and doing some bird photography, there we go, is really nice for Karen and I, because I'm enjoying my photography side of things, and Karen's, you know, out in nature, so she's loving things too. And also found this website called eBird, which is sort of mixes the photography in with spotting birds and data collection and all that sort of stuff of different birds that you've seen when you go out on an outing. And it's a brilliant website. And I was able to do some pretty cool things, because the website itself has a bit of a rundown on bird sounds and audio files. And I was trying to grab some photos of some blue fairy wrens the other day at this particular wetland. And I could you sort of spoil with them there. There's a lot there, but I thought I wanted to see how they behave with hearing the sound of themselves, and managed to play this audio file, which brought a number of other fairy wrens into the area. So it's a really interesting one, bird photography. I never thought I'd get into it, because I do have a bit of a phobia for birds, which I've probably never brought up in this podcast, and that stems from a couple of swooping incidents when I was a young kid. I've just never been the same. I'm a bit sheepish with birds. Yeah, also picked up another camera for my arsenal of cameras, and that being an Insta360, which is an absolute wild camera. Some of the stuff you'll be able to do with that is pretty cool, and I've started releasing a couple of reels out on Instagram on the stuff I've been doing with the 360, but a few big ideas that I'll be working on. But like anything with reels or video, I try to perfect the editing side of things on my side before I go all out. So it's very much in the draft stages, that stuff, but really enjoying it. And also heading to Melbourne pretty much late next week around Anzac Day. So I'll be doing some cool stuff over there again as well. Let's get into today's episode, Kangaroo Island. Some places we visit stay in our minds and our hearts. It's almost spiritual, or like a magnetic pull. It's hard to explain, but I think a lot of you can probably relate about that special place that you've been maybe a couple of times, maybe even once, and it's stuck with you. That's Kangaroo Island for me. I didn't actually get over there until around 10 or 11 years ago, and that was for work. I worked for a company that had an office over there, and being in IT, because it was a one-manned office, I didn't have to go over there a lot. I was a team leader at the time, but there was some equipment that needed to be replaced over there, so I was sort of booked in to go over there. It was a simple get on the ferry, drive to Kingscote and do what I needed to do, then maybe have something to eat and head back to Penashore and get the ferry back. And that was my two first ever visits to KI. I still enjoyed it. I thought, wow, this is a place I want to come back over to, but I never really had anyone to go with prior to meeting Karen and anything like that. No one was really interested in getting over there, so why would you go over there by yourself, I guess. In hindsight, I probably would have. And then in 2021, Kaz, as she always does, makes a huge deal out of my birthday. And she said, let's go to KI. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I have a reasonably unusual approach to traveling to a place I don't know a lot about. And I like to go in somewhat blindfolded. Well, it's not physically blindfolded, but somewhat blind. So a bit of ignorance, if you will, so that any experience or location is a surprise. Strange, I know. I knew little about KI. I knew of a huge fire that ripped across a large part of the island. I think most of us did. I knew of the ritzy accommodation known as the Southern Ocean Lodge, but that's about it. But a funny story about that, actually. Terry Hatcher. You may know her from Lois and Clark or Desperate Housewives. I somehow I think I was reading the Sunday Mail, which is the local Adelaide paper, once, and I saw that Terry Hatcher had gone over to Kangaroo Island and she was staying at the Southern Ocean Lodge, and she'd done that a few times. She was pretty low-key about it from all reports. She didn't stop in Adelaide or anything like that, but just went straight to KI. When the bushfires over there occurred a couple of years ago, I saw that she had put something on Instagram. I think I was following her at the time, I think it was something to do with reading a book at the Southern Ocean Lodge. I can't even remember. And it was like that she didn't even know about the bushfires that were going on. So I just commented to her photo and said, "Oh, hey, do you obviously know about the bushfires and everything else?" And next thing, I had Terry Hatcher following me and then inboxing me, asking all about it, and a bit of back and forth about what was happening and everything else. And that was that. So I actually spoke to Terry Hatcher. That was pretty wild. I think she's since unfollowed me then, but that's fine. I had a private account at the time, but that's my claim to fame. I think that 6 degrees of separation with Hollywood was gone in those 5 minutes once I had spoken to Terry Hatcher. But I don't know if she ever contributed to the efforts with the rebuilding of KI. I don't know, but yeah, she was genuinely concerned at the time in our conversations about what went on. But yeah, there you go. Anyway, back to the topic. So our first trip over, Karen had booked a place called Allure Beach Retreat. Again, it meant little to me. All I saw on the website that it was a remote B&B, sort of looked like it was in the middle of like a sand dunes or a scrub. There was a beach nearby. Didn't know much, but hey, I was happy. I don't really like people, as you guys know. So yeah, I was completely blindsided by the gorgeousness of our accommodation from the moment we entered the long driveway, which winds through the sand dunes at Pennington Bay. Pennington Bay is about a 20-25 minute drive from Penashore once you get off the ferry. And it's usually known by people that it's sort of on the corner. There's an intersection just before Prospect Hill, which is apparently the largest hill in Kangaroo Island, which is a bit confusing to me. I must look that up one day because I saw a lot of larger hills elsewhere. Anyway, the accommodation itself was nicely sized. It was an elevated beach shack with a wraparound deck and views of the nearby beach. It's absolutely jaw-dropping. And anyone that is thinking of going to KI, I cannot recommend this place enough. It's truly just beautiful. If you're looking for isolation that's not too far from the ferry, but it just has everything you need. During the initial trip, we went to Cape Willoughby, which is one place that I knew of KI. False Cape Wines, that's obviously somewhere that Karen wanted to go. I don't actually drink, so I stopped drinking about 4 years ago. The second day we headed down to Vivon Bay, and that was mentioned by Karen as being, I think it won the Best Beach in the World award many, many years ago, or not many years ago, I'm not sure, but I know that Stokes Bay won it last year. But so we went there, and then we finished the day off at Flinders Chase. And I can see why people love it down there. Flinders Chase is now by far my favourite location I have ever been in my life. Remarkable Rocks, Admiral's Arch, Weir's Cove, Cape de Codic. Now, I hope I spelled that right. My French isn't the best. And, of course, Bunker Hill. It's just wow factor. You can see the growth or regrowth after the devastation of the bushfires. I still to this day can't understand the pull of this place to me, Flinders Chase. There is something so special about it. I've never felt this way about a location in my life. Is it from a previous life that I'm getting this pull? I don't know. I've always had a thing for lighthouses, so I have no idea why. Maybe I was a lighthouse keeper in a past life. The final day of that trip, we headed to Raptor Domain. I'll never forget the wedge tail they brought out. The Raptor Domain is a small bird park where they have birds of prey on display, but not sort of in cages or anything, you know, any of that bullshit like a lot of zoos do. This was, you know, a proper place where they brought the eagles out and everything else. They may have had cages in the background, or I don't know, but they did a cool sort of show. I think they do it a couple of times a day. Anyway, they brought out a wedgetail, and he was really, really restless about something. And then the person that was doing the show said that they were spooked by another wedgetail eagle that was flying way up in the sky. And I could see this wedgetail. It was like a dot in the sky. And it fascinated me to think that a wedgetail could sense and see what was above that I could barely see. And that's just given me a real fascination of the wedgetail. Which is funny because I took it for granted, and that's going to be another episode later down the track talking about my Stuart Highway adventures. And obviously going up through the middle of Australia, you see so many wedgetails. It's quite incredible how many you see, and always just took it for granted. And now they've become a fascination of mine. After the Raptor Domain, we went to Little Sahara. I love adrenaline rushes and things that really push me, and this place definitely provides that and much more. We went up and down those sand dunes with those sandboards for about 40 to 55 minutes, and I wore myself out completely at one stage and thought I was going to pass out. You know when you just overdo it and you become really, really lightheaded? Yeah, that was me. And Karen, she almost cut off her thumb at the time, so it was safe to say that we're a little worse for wear. That was our first trip over and what would become an addiction and constant pull for me. We went back there 6 months later with my mum and Jasmine in tow. It was nice to show my mum over there, not that she seemed overly impressed. My mum has been to many places around the world over the years. I suppose comparing the Rocky Mountains and Alaska and Canada to Kangaroo Island was always going to be a bit of a stretch. We revisited old haunts, of course, like Flinders Chase and Vivon Bay, as well as checking out Emu Bay and Stokes Bay. My love just continued to grow for this place. I even took my little boy Chihuahua Bo over with us. There was a funny story, wasn't funny at the time, about him and me almost being brutalized by an alpaca. We went back over to False Cape Wines, and it's a dog-friendly place. You can take your dog there, and I just took Bo out of the car to do his business. And then next thing, I turned around, there was an alpaca charging at both of us, and I shat myself. It was horrible. It was chasing us. So I bolted to the car, got in with Bo and locked the doors, and there's this alpaca staring at me through the window. If you guys have ever seen Jurassic Park, when the T-Rex looks inside the truck where the two kids are at the time, that was pretty much what it was like for me. It was a long 18 months before our next trip over there. That love that I had for KI never wavered, though. In fact, I would actually drop the bottom lip on a road trip down to Deep Creek or Cape Jervis where I could see KI from a distance. So close, yet so far. It's another world over there. Karen then asked me last year what I wanted to do for my 40th. No brainer, Kangaroo Island. So in September last year, that's when we went. Pretty much all the same places: Willoughby, Flinders Chase, and a bad attempt at Stokes Bay. Stokes Bay, if you haven't been over there, is the spot on KI that's a nice beach, but to get to the beach, you have to go through pretty much a cave. So it's sort of like a secret beach. So we went there and the tide was up. So we got through to probably 97% of the cave, and then I realized, the water's coming through the cave. No Stokes Bay today. We also saw Snelling's Beach and Hanson Bay for the first time on that trip. I couldn't think of a better place to spend a milestone birthday. I actually can't think of a better place to experience life, to be honest. About a month after returning from KI, my friend Lottie and I began discussing Kangaroo Island and thought, how cool would it be to travel over there with another photographer? So we began planning that. That's the trip I just got back from last week, actually. As in last week. Wow, time's flown. That'd be 3 weeks ago. We stayed at a B&B at Island Beach, yet another location I had never travelled. With beautiful views of American River, it was a treat. The trip itself was so easy. You often worry when you travel with others and wonder if they have habits that will drive you insane. Thankfully, this wasn't the case. It was just easy. My main request for this trip was to get down to a yet another lighthouse location. One that was very remote. I had heard the road was treacherous and there wasn't a lot of information about it. Cape Border. On our first full day, we went to Kingscote to check out the Kingscote sticks, which in my opinion are the best sticks in SA. And then we set off to Emu Bay Lavender Farm, Stoke and Stokes Bay. We had a picnic lunch, which was really, really nice, and the tide was down, thanks to that, Lottie. Snelling's Beach, which looked amazing this time. The first time I went to Snelling's, I was like, yeah, it's nice, but the water was coming in, you know, like a really sort of full-on day, but this particular day was really nice. After that, we headed up a beautiful hill with panoramic views of Snelling's, which we stopped and took a photo or two of. As we kept pushing further, I spotted two wedgetail eagles in a dead tree in the middle of a field. Don't ask me how I spotted them. Getting a wedgetail eagle in the wild has been a bucket list of mine for years since taking up photography. Lottie kindly stopped the car and I went to focus on the eagles. Unfortunately, they flew off, but my adrenaline was pumping. I was just excited to see them in the wild. None of the shots were in focus this time. Yeah, the backstory there. It's funny, going back to the wedgetail eagle, I think it was after the raptor domain, I just thought I want to get a wedgetail eagle in the wild. I want to be able to get a photo of one. And again, it's ironic considering probably 40 or 50 or more that I've seen in my time as a child going up and down the Stuart Highway. But yeah, that love now was an obsession to get one. We then got down to Western River. This is the one spot that Lottie was keen to go, and for good reason. It was yet another amazing spot. The beach was next level. How cool is it to know that there are beaches around the place that I hadn't even heard of? That's KI. Everywhere is just a hidden gem around the corner. After spending about 30 minutes there, we set out for our final destination, Cape Border. After making a wrong turn to a dead end where we had a small encounter with a tiger snake crossing the road, we were greeted with by far the worst road I have ever travelled. And I say this with absolute confidence. I have travelled some bad roads in the Northern Territory when I've gone out and visited remote places where I've had to work and that, but this road to Cape Border, it took the cake. Once we eventually got there, it was golden hour and we were presented with some beautiful scenery. Was it worth it? Well, it depends who you ask in the car that day. There was four of us. I would be outnumbered, but to me it was well worth the rough ride. Leaving Cape Border at the end of the day, I thought that would be the end of my excitement. It wasn't. After escaping the worst of the road out to Cape Border, I don't know how, but I spotted yet another wedgetail, this time a very large female alone in a dead tree just off the side of the road. Lottie again kindly stopped for me and I was ready. I focused in on her and I snapped away. I finally got my wedgetail photo. I was so happy. And to think it was a female too just made it even better. Once I finished my photo shoot, she flew away. So kind of her to pose for me, I guess. The following day, we headed to the Estuaries Bay and Cape Ganthium. I probably got that wrong. And a shout out to Jish D on Instagram for showcasing this area on Instagram and giving us a desire to head out there. We found a place called Wreckers Beach with a very cool osprey nest constructed on this tiny rock outlet. No ospreys in sight, sadly, but still an epic spot, a place I certainly want to return in future visits. Finally, on that day, we head down to Vivon Bay for lunch at the iconic General Store, and we both whipped out our drones for some flights, that being Lottie and myself. That is one thing that never gets old for me and KI, flying the drone around. My best drone shots are there for sure. Our final destination day was to revisit Pennington Bay. This is a bit bittersweet for me, as I've always stayed down there when we head over to KI. I couldn't even look at the gate to the accommodation as we drove past, so I was having a sulk. The beach is something else there. It's the best. Without sounding morbid, I want this place to be my final resting place. That was it. Yet another amazing couple of days in Kangaroo Island. You're probably wondering when I'll go back. Well, it's already been booked. On the final night of this trip, I reached out to my favourite accommodation host to book yet another trip over. She responded the next morning saying she would actually like me to do some work for her instead, photos and video. So I can't think of, I can think of harder jobs than to do that for her, but I said yes. I guess as most of my Instagram followers know, one day it won't be a return trip for me once I board that SeaLink ferry. We definitely want to live over there eventually once Jazzy's grown up and everything else. But it's very special to me, guys, KI, and I do hope any of my listeners that haven't been over there and live locally or even, you know, elsewhere do get a chance to do yourself a favour and head over to Kangaroo Island. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised of how beautiful it is over there. That's KI, guys. Thank you very, very much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to leave a rating, as I said before, and check out my Instagram for lots of photos that have been coming out from the recent trip and trips before that. I look forward to bringing you plenty more episodes. You'll hear from me next time. Take care. Bye-bye.